I've been reading a lot this year from disabled authors, which has been really enlightening, trying to broaden my own perspective. Disabled voices tend to be so marginalized in our communities, even though actually 1 in 4 American adults has some kind of disability. And the minority of disabled adults is also the one minority that any of us could join at any time. Think about it. If you were born a straight white man, you're probably not going to wake up tomorrow morning a pansexual black woman. But even if you were born able-bodied and neurotypical, you're really just one medical event away from becoming disabled. And in some respects, this is a good thing. May we all live long enough that some of our parts give out. Scholars of disability also talk about different models of disability. There is what's called the medical model, which basically says that disability is a physical or mental condition that needs to be treated or cured by medical intervention on the individual level. And then there's what's called the social model of disability, which is more popular among disability activists. This says that people are disabled not by their bodies or their brains, but by the barriers that we as a society erect around them. The attitudes, environments, and systems that exclude or disadvantage people and that prevent them from taking part in everyday life. So think about it. If there's an elevator or there's a ramp or an escalator, what does it matter if someone can't walk up the stairs? Is it the wheelchair user problem or the lack of the elevator that makes them disabled? There are, of course, many other ways to think about disability, but these two sort of set up that dichotomy that I'd like to talk about today, which is the contrast between cure and healing. A medical model of disability says that you are disabled until you are cured. Until, like the Gerasene demoniac we read about today in Luke's gospel, the disability is removed from your body wholesale, perhaps thrown into some pigs who take them to a watery grave. A social model of disability, however, opens up the possibility not simply of cure, but of healing. Something that I think is far more elusive, but also much more deeper and restorative than a cure. Healing has less to do with something being taken away than about something being added. Healing, in the sense that I want to talk about it, is about receiving wholeness, receiving restoration. The Hebrew scriptures often talk about the shalom of God, a word that's a little tricky to translate into English. We often just say the peace of God, that peace that passes all understanding, as we say in the blessing sometimes. But the word has more to it than that. Shalom is a state of wholeness, of completeness, of well-being and harmony. It's that deep you feel when you are totally content. Healing, then, is not just the absence of dis-ease, something that takes you out of ease, but the presence of fullness, the fullness of a rich life. When the prophets speak about shalom, they're envisioning a world that is set right, a world where we all have what we need to thrive. Unfortunately, the Bible is kind of all over the place on disability. There are some texts that affirm this medical model, and there are even some texts that seem to imply that illness or disability is the result of sin. The good news is that Jesus strongly refutes this position. As you may recall, a while back I referenced the story of Jesus healing a man born blind. The fact that he was born blind puts the lie to the moral model. The religious scholars come to Jesus and they say, "Who sinned? Was it this man or was it his parents?" And Jesus says, "No one has sinned here. Blindness has nothing to do with sin." In fact, he says, "This man was born blind so that the glory of God might be known through him." Now, of course, you read the same scriptures as me, you know Jesus cures a lot of people. Again, the Gerasene demoniac has his disease taken away very quickly. But I want you to look at the text again and see that Jesus does not stop there. Because Jesus is not only a curer, a remover of dis-ease, but a healer, one who brings with him that great deep, that shalom, that peace and well-being and wholeness that God wants for all of us. Jesus can cure disease easily, but he does not stop there. If you look at the healing text, especially in Luke, right, the saint we hold up as the great physician, if you look at the healing text, Jesus always goes a step further, and he returns the person he is healing to wholeness by restoring them to community. At the end of our text, people come and they see Jesus sitting with the man who is formerly bound by demons. Remember, the demons not only bound, the people bound him up in chains, and the demons drove him out into the wilds. Jesus now sits with this guy, no chains around, and demonstrates that this man is now safe to be with and interact with. He is someone who can be approached and befriended. And from there, instead of taking him with him, Jesus returns the man to his community. He says, go back and show them what God has done for you. He says, go back and share this message of shalom by demonstrating your freedom. This man's healing, it's witnessed to and made complete by his return to the community. Because the truth is, when we work to extend healing to those that are bound by illness, by disease, or by social barriers, we all benefit. When we make accommodations for those who need them to participate, we are creating the conditions of shalom, that world where everyone has what they need to thrive, and we all benefit. In disability studies, the most famous case of this is the curb cut, which is that little slanted ramp when you come to a corner. Now, those were intended to make it easier for people using wheelchairs or other mobility aids to navigate the streets. But if anybody here, like myself, has pushed a baby stroller around or hauled a shopping trolley, you know that those things are an unmitigated blessing. Those things make our community more livable, more walkable for a whole lot of non-disabled bodies, too. In an example maybe a little more closer to home, live streaming our worship today, thank you, Drew, means that it is accessible to people who cannot be here physically. Anybody homebound, hospitalized, or immunocompromised and avoiding large gatherings. But it also makes it possible for able-bodied people who might be traveling or a little extra busy to watch the service at home or on the go. We all benefit. Inclusion brings healing because it restores us to community and it restores us to each other. In some respects, I think you guys all know this intuitively, and what I'm doing is just naming a truth that we share. Today is one of our healing prayer Sundays. And without betraying any confidences, I will say that when I do healing prayer, yes, a lot of people ask for cures, for disease or dis-ease to be taken away. And by no means do I want to discourage that. An open and honest dialogue about what you need and what you want from God is a requirement for a healthy prayer life. But I know that you also ask for prayers for others, and you ask for your own strength to walk along beside them. You ask for help fulfilling your roles as parents, siblings, spouses, colleagues, and teachers. In other words, you ask for help to be in community with those who are bound by disease, because your lives are bound up with theirs. You are praying in that sense to become a part of the healing ministry of Jesus, which, yes, can mean providing medical services. I know that we have doctors, nurses, therapists in the congregation, some who are called to be agents of cure. But more than that, you want to be an agent of healing, which is something I think we are all called to do as a congregation and as individuals. All of us can partake in the healing ministry of Jesus because all of us can bring the healing that community, friendship, and compassion impart. All of us can extend that wholeness, that inclusion, that embrace and community to those who have been broken or cast aside by society. God does not just want cures for us. God does not just want the disease to be taken away. God wants to give us far more than that, because God wants far deeper, far broader wholeness for us. God wants that deep healing, that deep shalom. That means returning to life in the fullness of community. So my question to you today is, how will you receive that healing? The prayer we opened our service with says, may we be witnesses to your healing so that we can share it with the world. How will you receive that healing today so that you can expand it to others? How are you embracing God's deep shalom in your life so that you can be that shalom in the world? Remember, you too are called to be a healer. No matter what you do with the rest of your week, you too are called to be a healer and to take part in Jesus' work of healing the world. Amen.